And may he indeed show his glory and grace to us all as we come to him daily. Amen. Please be seated. Not too long ago, we just heard Curtis read for us a scripture. Perhaps you can relate to this verse from Psalm 143 more today and here in 2020 than you have been able to in the past. My spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days long ago. Remember them? The days when we didn't need these things? Remember them when we didn't have to worry about plexiglass in grocery stores and, you know, people's voices getting muffled by their mask? What did you say? I think we all have had to deal with muffleitis and just trying to get through all of this. But even more so than, you know, that idea of that weariness of not being able to hear each other well, it's just the weariness of how long this has gone on. We perhaps have forgotten that there are others in other states who are not able to assemble in worship like this because their pandemic levels are so high, so severe, and so much at risk. We have been very blessed, and yet I think we all could admit to some weariness. One of the things I notice, one of the constant connecting threads to weariness when it kicks in my life, is that I've been trying to do too much by my own strength. We have this beautiful invitation from Jesus where he says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and I'm humble of heart." It's that promise, it's that goodness of God, that invitation that he is willing to be our guide. Come to me, learn from me. And when we do, when we abide in him, when we learn from him, we know we can always go back. Like your cell phone getting recharged again at night while you sleep, we can always reconnect with God in the midst of the weariest circumstances we've perhaps faced in our lives. Or in the midst of a tough decision, tough difficulty, we can come back to him and let him fill us. And then, of course, let him guide us. Once again, that's what I hope for us to talk about today as we think of our prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus, come and be our guide." GPS will work fairly well until you're in the canyon with all the buildings downtown, or you're going through a deep, thick forest, and then GPS on your little cell phone isn't all that useful to get us anywhere. We maybe can rely on, a stranger stopping at a gas station, two turns to the left and then a right. But the true guide, the truest guide that you and I will ever know is God himself. And one of the first things I think that God does when he guides us is that he grabs a hold of us by his word. You know, we see that happening with Zechariah in this text in the gospel. God grabs a hold of him and the angel says, "Don't be afraid. You're going to have a son. That son is going to grab a hold of people. He's going to bring people's hearts back. Bring disobedient children's heart back to their parents. Bring wayward people's hearts back to the Father." He grabs a hold of us. And I don't know if you've had this experience lately, but when one of those times comes where I am trying to do things by my own strength, or I'm trying seven different solutions before I go, you know, it might be a good idea to stop and pray and ask for God's solution about this. It's funny how when he grabs a hold of us in those times, it's very quick. It's not God being mean. It's not God being sort of a punitive teacher or a coach. But he grabs a hold of us and says, "Look at what you were doing. Look at what you might have missed out. As Hebrews tries to put this for us and capture this in Hebrews chapter 4, he tells us the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The psalmist is writing about that too. You know, my enemies are pursuing me. They're wearing me down. And it's so easy for my heart to get weighed down too. It's so easy for me to get distracted and dismayed and maybe even give up. But God in his mercy would show us that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong thought. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I have better thoughts for your heart than for you to possibly think God doesn't hear you and God doesn't care. So he offers that. He grabs a hold of us in that moment of diagnosis, if you will, that our thoughts have been out of line with God's and our ways, our attitudes have been out of line with his. We come back. Like the psalmist saying, let your word be new to me every morning. Come with that word. Put me on the right path. Guide me. Well, one of the reasons why God's guidance is so helpful and I think so important is because we have an enemy who is trying to stop us, who's trying to see what he can do to distract us from following in God's ways. That enemy is after you and I, the devil, the world, our own sinful flesh. That enemy wants to distract us from God. In the psalm, he puts it this way. He says, the enemy pursued me. He crushed me to the ground. He made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my soul grew faint within me. Jesus was very clear. When he came, born as that baby, grew up as our Savior, came to teach us, he said, there is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There is an enemy that wants to keep you from God's peace, to keep you from that righteous place in his family that is ours through Christ, through grace, to keep us any way he can in the dark, confused, alone, isolated. Getting us to that place where we feel weary and faint and dismayed. That's his job description. And he does it, unfortunately, pretty well. But it's just one prayer away to find the relief of God, the peace of God, the strength of God, him guiding us once again. And I think it's a helpful thing for us to remember to cry out to the one that can guide us. We hear it again. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. The devil's only going to lead us into confusion. The world's going to offer a patchwork quilt of solutions. It's God alone that can guide us through every situation, even unto eternal life. Cry out to him. I can't do it, Lord. I can't figure it out. I can't make it through one more day. I can't go back and make one more trip to the store to make these pumpkin pies because I forgot one ingredient. I'm worn out. Cry out to him and watch how he shows his mercy. I'm truly convinced, and just from my own experience, that a big part for us, a big, big part as we cry out to him is realizing of faith, is that we don't forget what's really true. A big part of faith is we do not forget what's really true. That just because we can't in a moment see what God is doing, we can't perhaps even in a moment of stress even hear his voice. Don't let that move us so that we forget how good he is, how well he has been there before. The psalmist says it again, my heart was dismayed, but I remembered the days long ago. Maybe it wasn't a pandemic I went through before, but I remember how God brought me through the crisis of being out of work for 7 months, for a year. Maybe it's not, that I've lost a loved one here to COVID-19 in this pandemic, but I've lost others. And God gave his peace and his comfort, and he wiped my tears away. He brought me through that. And when we remember those days from long ago, we get strengthened. We can handle what's coming through in this. So show me. Show me, the psalmist says. Show me the way I should go. That Zechariah is going to forget. And when we hear the story next week, he asks the question, how am I going to know this is true? He forgets that it's God who made the promise, and God is always faithful when he makes his promises. You and I don't need to forget. Make this our prayer. Show me the way I should go. For to you I entrust my life. Rescue me then, Lord. Rescue me from my enemies, for I hide myself in you. I don't have all the answers, Jesus. You do. Come and guide me. Come and still my anxious heart. Come and let your guidance be there for me. The one who will still guide us is the one that we can call out to, and his word will guide. His word promises that when we take a look at Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is talking there and he's describing this idea of one who receives a seed that fell among the thorns, and the person who hears that, it's the worries of this life. It's the deceitfulness of wealth that make it unfruitful. But when we instead hear his word and we let it be our guide, we cling to it, we hold on, we grab hold of the word by which he grabbed hold of us. When we do that, the one who receives that seed that fell on good soil is like a person who hears the word and understands it. Literally, the word there means that holds on to it, lets it start to bear fruit in their lives, and it will produce a crop. It will. We hold on to the promises of his love. We hold on to the promises of his peace, and it will produce a crop in our lives. We hold on to his promises to guide us when we don't know where to go, and it will produce a harvest. Some years ago, the PBS main person by the name of Bill Moyer did a documentary on Amazing Grace, the hymn, the story behind it, and how it impacted people in the world today. When he asked them, for everyone from prisoners to politicians, from homemakers to headmasters at schools, when he asked them what part of the song affected them the most, it was a very high percentage, 80-90% of people quoted these words. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. He has the grace to guide you. He has the grace to get you through any situation. God has and gives the grace to lead us all the way to home, our forever home, and lead us every day until we arrive there. Let the God who loves you guide you home and every day. Amen.